Conscious Living. I'm Wendy Garrett. Thanks for tuning in. Time flies when you're having fun, and it flies anyway, just because it can, which I kind of like that aspect. But the other part of time is that it isn't always quantifiable, and especially if you've had an out-of-body experience or a near-death encounter or any kind of transformational, in some way, shape, or form, event, then you realize time is its own entity, and it isn't, as we think, finite and defined. Somebody who can illustrate that quite well is my guest, Gary Wimmer. Now, just to give you a little background, I've talked with Gary before, so you'll find him in the archives. I've also interviewed him recently again on KCMO, the Wendy's Coffee House. We're going to talk some more just because Gary, in the things that he experienced when he was doing his near-death, out-of-body exploration and kind of upgrading his whole quantum reality, there were some things that he learned and that he might be able to share with us in terms of what's happening right now, kind of a prophecy or a peek around a corner at what's happening, whether that jibes with what he got. But you can get him at GaryWimmer.com. He's a psychic. He also does lithomancy, which is reading stones, and he can explain that. But Gary, I also love your accent. So, hey, welcome back.
Why do you think I got an accent?
It's almost like that.
I have that much of a southern accent. I suppose I do, correct?
Yeah. Well, you do to me anyway. Yes. We don't really think about that when we're, speaking and stuff. But yeah, I do like your accent, and to me, you have one. So it's a positive thing. How's that?
Okay. Well, I'm not always impressed with southern accents and southern mentality, but I've lived here, I guess, in Texas most of my life. I traveled a lot, of course. I was a musician and traveled a lot and lived in Europe in the 90s. And when I lived in Europe, I heard a lot of English people from England. And so I tried to not sound quite so damn Texan.
How'd that go?
Oh, it creeps back in when you live in the South.
Yes. All of a sudden it's like, oh, yeah, I'm comfortable again. Here it is. I wanted to talk with you because, the book A Second in Eternity talks about your experience with a near-death, out-of-body thing that you had back in 1977. And just for people who aren't familiar with you, real quick, that book will get everybody up to speed on what you went through. And what did you call the guardians or the guides, the caretakers who were along with you for that ride?
Oh, the monitors.
The monitors. Okay.
They seem to name themselves as such. As I wrote in the book, I could feel them as I went through this week of escalating, inexplicable, sudden onsurge of psychic ability that just went to the extreme. I could feel the monitors sort of watching over. I felt some sort of guardian angels, and they seemed to call themselves the monitors. Whether I made that name up or they put it into my brain, either way, I'm grateful that they were around and guided me.
Are they still around now?
I don't feel them as much as I used to. In fact, in 1977, when I had this experience, in 1980, I met a lady named Alice Worrell who taught me the method of lithomancy. And she was one of the greatest psychics I've ever known in my life. And I told her about my experience, and she called what I called the monitor, she called him Arnos, which I think is kind of interesting because Arnos can almost be like Arnos, nosotros. They are ourselves, But anyway, she said they have a lifespan of like 200,000 years as we read time.
And wow.
They were watching over me in this particular period because of a particular function that they perform. And I realized in the hierarchy of the universe, just like people on this planet provide different functions, baker, tailor, politician, whatever. In the spiritual world, there's all sorts of different, levels of, it's not really a bureaucracy because it's not clumsy. It's very graceful and perfect and beautiful, but it is a, different souls, entities, different levels of consciousness are responsible for certain things,
So it's organized.
Yeah, it's kind of like the celestial organization. It's very real and it does exist. Just like it exists on this planet, whether you're talking about a corporation or a business or public or quantum physics, there's organization in the universe. There's structure.
Yeah. Okay, so my next question, for people who don't understand, when you are full-on, over-the-top psychic, 24/7 onslaught, what is that like?
It was the strangest thing I've ever had in my life, or the second strangest. The strangest is when I actually had the near-death experience. For your listeners, in a nutshell, in 1977, toward the end of January, I started experiencing a sudden increase in psychic ability. I'd been studying psychic ability since the late 60s. I started giving readings in the early 70s. I've always been interested in it, but it took off like a rocket. And over the next day or two, I couldn't even imagine what normal life was like. I was picking up signs and information about things that were about to happen, about people, and I was around a lot of witnesses, so this was not something I just imagined. Everybody around me was aware that what the hell is going on with you?
Right.
And I wasn't, you know, I was kind of, my friends were getting kind of concerned because my whole focus of consciousness was not like it was in normal life. All of a sudden, I was picking up signs about everything, about what people would say.
Mm-hmm.
And by the second day, third day, that became so overwhelming that in order to, I mean, it was scary as hell, but it was also mind-bogglingly beautiful. I was walking a tightrope between incredible fear, because what the hell is going on?
Right.
And incredible feeling of enlightenment, like, wow, I've never felt this, seen this, realized. It's like the whole universe was a layer of onions of meaning and symbolism, and I was no longer on the skin, on the surface, looking at normal life. I was digging into the onion of myself, of my own mind, and how to comprehend what's going on before me. So this went on for a solid week, and that's the time I started feeling the monitors and started kind of freaking some of my friends out. And at the end of that week, I was involved in this head-on collision with a car that you read the book, you understand.
Right.
It was
a reality check.
Oh, man, it was a reality check. I should have gotten killed in this incident here, but I didn't even get hurt. And from the time I was involved in this accident, again, as a head-on collision with me being the pedestrian, from the time I hit the car to I landed back in my body on the concrete, probably 2-3 seconds later of Earth time, I felt like I was gone for a billion years. I felt like I was gone for eternity. Mm-hmm. I left not even knowing. Quickly after I left my body, seeing it tumble over the car and getting, you know, people screaming and hollering. And as I started leaving this reality, I was expanding like a balloon, on the edge of a balloon, surface-wise. I was growing bigger and bigger and bigger. Not physically, of course.
Understood.
I was psychic, and planets were going inside me, and I eventually crossed through the edge of the universe and saw infinite other universes and went through the tunnel of light that is so often described, which is a very good description. It's kind of the way things actually look like. They really do, a long tunnel of light. And then I ended up in this beautiful blue void of infinite mind, infinite creativity, infinite possibilities, where everything was, there was really nothing created. It was all divine imagination making things happen, making things exist, making creations. Of course, I was baffled by this, amazed. I had no awareness of myself any longer. And this seemed to go on for eternity. It was the most beautiful thing I've ever experienced in my life, is leaving my body and going through this miraculous voyage through creation, ending up...
Question, Gary. Sure. Okay, do you have a sensation of any smells or sounds or sensations at all that resemble a physical reality?
Very, very, very visual. But, of course, my eyes are in my body on the planet, so it's psychically visible.
Yeah.
Sounds, I guess, kind of like sounds in a dream. You don't really hear them. When you wake up, you realize it was silent, but you felt like you heard the sounds.
Mm-hmm.
No sense of time. The difference between sequentiality and simultaneousness disappeared because there was no sense of time. I felt like things were going very, very fast, but that's only a relative way of looking at things, because kind of all happening simultaneously, but I was getting to digest it step at a time about where I was going and what was happening. But I ended up in this infinite mind, and through what I call spiritual gravity, it wasn't my time yet or whatever, I was pulled back through this tunnel of light, not knowing who I was or where I was going. I know I was just in heaven. It was a pretty nice place. I didn't particularly want to leave, but spiritual gravity pulled me away.
Yeah, that wasn't an option. It was like, okay, you've been there, done that. Get back where you're going.
Time's up, buddy. You got to step back here in the backstage and see how the show is run, and now we're putting you back in the audience.
My question, I'll say, the monitors, did they give you an explanation for this? Did they tell you what your job was, or were you supposed to already know that?
Well, they, as I felt them during the escalating the week before the car accident, I felt them just kind of pat me on the shoulder, just being aware, just being around. And that gave me great peace, because when you feel like you're losing your mind, it was one of the most haunting feelings I've ever had. What do you do? Your mind's not even operating like normal. So they were around and comforting me. And right before I had the accident, this is the only time I actually saw the monitors. I visually saw them, and I looked up at them, and they basically said, "You are protected, and don't worry, and do you trust us?" And they asked me if I trusted them, and I said, "Yes, absolutely, because this past week's been pure insanity. Whatever you guys got to offer is bound to make more sense." I kind of had that thought.
Did they have a specific wardrobe, like golden robes or anything that?
They were dressed in these sort of off-white robes. They seemed rather big. They didn't seem male or female, although because of their, their size or their emanation, they felt a little more male, but they weren't actually male the way we think of it.
They were
spiritual entities that took the form of faceless protectors, guardians, in these white robes. Mm-hmm. And right before I had this accident, I was scared to death, and then all of a sudden, I closed my eyes. I was praying. I was so confused about life at this point. What the hell is going on? And I closed my eyes and prayed like I never had before, and felt this warmth completely encompassing me, and opened my eyes, and I looked up and I saw them.
Yeah.
Sitting around this what looked like a crystal table, seven of them. And they were, they asked me if I trust them and blah, blah, blah. I had a short conversation I wrote in the book. And then seconds later, this accident with the speeding car. And then I'm outside my body watching my body get tumbled around on by the car. Was sort of a, well, that's just what happens on life attitude.
Yeah. Okay. These things happen here. You'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. But the monitors kind of ushered in. They gave me the comfort. They said I would be protected. They asked very specifically, "Do you trust us?"
Mm-hmm.
Didn't quite know what that meant at the time, but boy, I did after that.
Well, I wouldn't have expected that response. Like, yeah, car crash, slam.
Right.
Oh, can I change my mind? Is there an alternative?
It felt like such light and positivity and such spiritual. And I've felt them for a week. In fact, I said, "You're the monitors. You're the guys I've been feeling." They said, "Absolutely." And they went right back to the issue at hand. Do you trust us?
Yeah. Yeah. So okay. Don't distract us. We got business here.
Right. And they had to get my trust before it could move on, because I could have said no, and who knows what would have happened next. Maybe I wouldn't have had the accident. Maybe I would have died of psychosis. Who knows?
I'm guessing that they just would have said, okay, not ready yet. Okay, throw the fish back in the pond.
I was ready, because just moments before they appeared, I was praying like I never had in my life. God, this is ridiculous. Whatever you want out of me, you got.
You got my attention. I'm done. I'm so done. Help. Help.
Then
you also, and there's some prophecy type stuff. You got some glimpses. And I wanted to ask, is it the kind of stuff that shifts us into a new paradigm or a different consciousness? How does that work?
Absolutely. As I was coming back into my earth body that was lying on the middle of the street in Austin, Texas, here in front of a screaming crowd, as I was coming back to that, not even knowing who I was yet or where I was headed, I saw all these pictures of the future of our planet. And I saw, and this was 1977, I saw several major financial curveballs, We saw some in 2008. We'll see more. I saw huge amounts of terrorism. I saw west and east coast of the United States being considerably thinner than they are now. Like,
New York water.
New York to Florida gone, and a lot of the west coast gone. Now, I don't think we'll see that in our lifetime, but we're seeing the starts of it. I saw incredible political turmoil. I saw a lot of scary crap, but the but the theme behind it was very enlightening, because I realized we have to see all our holes in our boat so we can fix the boat so it'll work right. And so through the next, you know, generation or two, we're going to be fixing our societies and our mindset so we can survive as one human race without fighting and killing and being greedy and selfish.
Well, Well, okay. So do we develop any kind of awareness of these other entities that are around us, and not necessarily ET, but the non-corporeal element? Because there are a lot of people who have that awareness of relatives who are not dead. They've just transitioned and they're present in a different way. Did we develop? Did you see any of that?
I think we are developing it individually and collectively. For example, when we go through situations, when we get concerned, we start asking questions. And when we start asking questions, we set ourselves up to learn. So the very innate curiosity in a lot of people concerning what the hell is going on is going to bring them the answers to what is going on and why. We'll all get the answers in a different way when we can, as Jack Nicholson said, when you can handle the truth.
Well, that changes everything, because then you realize there's a facade, and people, some, depending on your mentality, depending on your attitude, your frame of reference, there's also this thing of projection, where if you're frightened, then you will see a giant monster instead of the mouse, because the perception that there's something that is out there that means you harm is stronger than the trust factor of, okay, I will benefit from whatever this is. Whatever this is, it's meant for me to upgrade my perceptions. So I have to take a look at where does this benefit me, instead of, OMG, this is the end of the planet.
Right. You nailed it, girl. It's exactly what it is. Every moment of everybody's life, no matter what you go through, can, not necessarily is, but can be used to enlighten you. Life's not trying to screw us over. We came here as souls of light, and we got stuck in, well, we chose to come in certain bodies with certain DNA and certain limitations so we could accomplish certain things. But yeah, we're all moving toward the direction of spiritual enlightenment. Some people see it and sign up and learn to play the piano quicker. I guess
Or some people let their friends do it for them. You got that. Okay, fine.
Right, but we're all going to. There's only one place to go. It's back to the infinite mind from which we came. But we get to choose through one way or another how much crap we want to drag ourselves through before we get there. And the crap we drag ourselves through is basically perception. Because everybody's going to get curveballs, but if they make you a better batter, you can curse the universe for throwing you curveballs, or you can go, wow, life showed me something new, or anywhere in between. So perception, now, here, now, perception, not yesterday's, not tomorrow's, but the way we perceive things at this moment is not only the best use of free will ever, it's the changeable thing. It's the one thing we can always change. We can't change a lot. We can't change our DNA or our genes or a lot of karmic things we'll face. We can't change other people. We can't change the past. We can change the way we look at things.
Attitude, opinion, ideas, creativity.
That's where it all starts. Attitude, intentions. And we have complete free will over that. So to any human being, you want to grow, you want to learn more about yourself, God, the universe, your spiritual ability, your psychic ability, believe it, practice it, and set your mind on, oh, okay, the universe is showing me that all the time. I just never stopped long enough to realize that. I was bitching at it all the time because I didn't get what I wanted.
Well, some of it is there are patterns when we have a mindset and we want this, there's a security in things that repeat over and over. I go to work at 5, I come home at 7, I have dinner so-and-so, I watch this show, and it's over and over. But that security is a false reality, because all you're doing is basically repeating the same program over and over. There's no deviation, so there's a conformity that goes along with it, instead of that thing of, well, what happens if I don't repeat the same behavior over and over? And that's a little bit frightening, but that's where the growth and the expansion happens.
True. And if you have to repeat the same thing over and over, whether you're in jail or you got 3 jobs or whatever, you don't have to look at the same routine every day the same way. Again, every day, if you set your mind on, today the universe is going to show me a bunch of new stuff, and I'm going to be open, I'm going to learn, and I'm going to let my guides talk to me, and I'm going to let my spirituality rule the day. Even if you're doing the same things, you're not perceiving it the same way.
Yes, yes. You've opened a window.
Absolutely. You could be in a boring job, but you don't have to be bored with life because you're in a boring job. Turn your own self into, hey, I'm learning something every second. And when you set your mind on that, and you practice that, don't be surprised if you get that result.
Well, and I see that's part of that manifesting, part of that active creativity, where you're giving yourself permission to be proactive instead of reactive. And you're opening your own awareness to the level of, okay, something else is happening here. And if I give myself permission to pay attention to it, I don't have to consider the same thing as limiting. I can go, okay, there's something else. I'll see the opening this time. I will be aware of it this time. I will pick up on the clue that I'm getting. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, girl. And you said the key word, give yourself permission to experiment with what life is showing you. You know, you don't have to look at the same thing the same way. You can. That's free will and choice. And one thing I learned through my near-death experience, and I constantly get affirmed to this day, is that our higher mind, our guardian angels, our guides, God, the universe, whatever, will help us a little bit. But it's limited because they don't want to walk on your free will.
Right.
So the other side of that is ask and you shall receive. You have to give permission for your guides to be more effective, because they don't want to force themselves upon you. They want it by choice. And that's like when the monitors before my near-death experience 44 years ago, before the car accident, twice or 3 times said, do you trust us? They wanted to get that down pat. Well, we don't want to screw with your free will.
Right.
They didn't even tell me, trust us for what?
I know the fine print's always like, oh, that's just too complicated.
Right. Well, the fact that they appeared and I'd felt them for a week and they're talking to me, and the first thing that made sense about my situation in a solid week, and I had just been praying, all these dots pointed to, damn right, trust these guys.
Yes. They're my safety. They're my way out. Yeah. Well, and see, that, like this morning I was talking, and I do my own, you know, internal conversation. I've got this nightlight thing that's been with me for 20 years now, and energy. And it's not the higher guide. It's another companion. But I've always asked, so what is it? And try to name. Don't give us a name. Don't give us a name. You don't know enough to give us a name yet. Well, that's just so annoying, because then I can't explain it to anybody else. So that's not the fact that I don't deal with it. It's the fact that I can't explain it. I can't describe it. I can give it a template and say, this is what it is like. And it's a companion and it's a non-corporeal entity. But beyond that, every time I try to give it a description, because first I was going to say, well, it's a guardian angel, it's guardian spirit, it's another non-corporeal essence, it's an energy form. And that's as close as we'll get, because there was also the other factor, is it an ET? And I'm like, well, that complicates everything. These kinds of things, they refuse to narrow the focus. So I will keep doing my homework to make a bigger picture instead of sticking it in a little box of the already known. Does that make sense?
Absolutely, and good point. And keep this in mind. This is one of the things that really fascinated with my near-death experience. In our lives on Earth, in this world, we define this as a table, and that's a chair, and that's a car, and that's
yes.
a computer. Everything is separate. It's defined separately. It exists. You know, no two things can exist at the same time in space. It's laws of physics, you know, and they can't. But when you step out of the physical world, things are not so clearly defined.
It's overlapped.
Oh, complete overlap. It's like one big gas that can be anything. One big...
I like the analogy. Just go ahead.
one big spirit that can be anything. So when we think in terms of... and I would have never thought this way had I not had my near-death experience. I couldn't even imagine there being an infinite mind at the base of everything that really does exist. Even though I was raised Catholic and I always believed in God and I always prayed and I was a good guy, but I didn't believe people could actually experience it and come back and talk about it.
Right.
And number two, it's infinite and we have access to it. And number three, we have to kind of let go of our divisions of the way we look at the physical world with its limitations and its separation. The difference between a guardian angel and a guide and a thought and a level of consciousness are a lot vaguer out there.
Yes.
Than
yes.
we, by definition, make them here. They're either guardian.
Okay, hold on. We're going to take a break. Because that's when you start getting into this other stuff that I've experienced, like Sasquatch and things that I didn't have a clue about until, maybe in the last 4 or 5 years, because I thought I would never go there. UFOs. Yeah, right. No way. Uh-uh. Surprise. Okay. Gary Wimmer, my guest, psychic. And we will come back talking more of this non-corporeal, unexplained, cool reality.
Every 3 minutes, another woman gets the news that she has breast cancer. And here are some of the first words she hears. Hertenew oncogene, aromatase inhibitor, ductal carcinoma in situ. What do these words mean? How are you going to decide what to do if you can't even say what you have? Listen to me, Shirley Jones. As soon as you get your diagnosis, go to breastcancer.org. It's a special place on the internet where you can learn how to say all those breast cancer words and find out what they mean. At breastcancer.org, you can learn more about your particular kind of cancer and your treatment options. Prepare a list of questions for your next doctor's visit and get all kinds of other useful information to guide you and your family through this. Breastcancer.org, the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Today in school, I learned a lot. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends.
In biology,
in English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology,
me.
I learned that I'm fat and stupid.
In English,
and in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today.
The
only thing I didn't learn is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Arrgh, mateys. Welcome to the ocean. I've sailed the seven seas 100 times and found something I like even more than me treasure. 'Tis the ocean, beautiful and clear. Right now, I be sailing over the Great Barrier Reef. It just shivers me timbers thinking of all the fish and coral below me. Wait, what's that floating by? A plastic bag! By Blackbeard's eye patch, that's disgusting! Why did you know that many of these things come from folks throwing them carelessly on the ground? It'd be true! Lend us a hand by always recycling and disposing of your trash properly. Boys, get the plank ready! Somebody's gotta dive in and get that bag. Any volunteers? Alright, fine. I'll do it myself. Cannon bomb! Find out what you can do to help keep the oceans healthy at keepoceansclean.org. Brought to you by the Keep Oceans Clean Alliance and the Ad Council.
Conscious Living and Power Radio. Hi there. Thanks for listening. I appreciate your time. If you want to check out some of the shows in the archives, do that. EmpowerRadio.com. You could just do Google Conscious Living, Wendy Garrett, and that'll pick it up. I do have another show that I do, Wendy's Coffee House, and that's on Audio Boom. But you do, if you want to find out the shows, because Gary is in the list there a couple of times too on Wendy'sCoffeeHouse.com or the Blogspot site, and you'll pick that up too. There's just so much going on right now that I think it's really important that we pay attention to the cues we're getting in our reality, and you know, little things that you hear that don't jibe with the way you want, X them out. I didn't hear that. That doesn't matter. That's not my priority. So when you hear a negative image, a negative message, a negative mantra, a negative in any way, shape, or form program running, you can counter it. And I think with Gary, the reason I really like his story is because it's no holds barred, a reality completely different than anything that we experience here 9 to 5 in sequence. He's got a template for the bigger and greater reality we experience. And that's why if you read the book or you do some research and check out Gary's website, Second in Eternity, you'll find out there's an amazing potential here for us to open up our own awareness to realities we haven't even begun to imagine. Is in a nutshell, Gary, does that make sense?
Absolutely, girl.
Okay. Okay. So with your beyond the moment, and you, when you're talking to people, when you're helping them work either through, you know, through a reading, whether it's an intuitive reading or a psychic reading or a lithomancy reading, what is the big focus that most people have? What are the questions beyond the, am I going to have a nice relationship? Am I going to get married? I'm going to make a lot of money, you know, all that. What's the concern right now that you've noticed?
I think there's all kinds of concerns. It's actually easier for me to explain what I suggest as opposed to the numerous different issues we're confronted with.
Perfect. Yeah, go ahead.
And I emphasize this a lot, just as we were saying a while ago. There's a lot of things in life you can't change. With ourselves and with other people, we can't change our genes. I've been a musician my whole life. If I could change anything, I'd change my crappy voice into a good one. I can't. I'm a crappy singer, but never had a good voice. But there's workarounds. I learned to be a good entertainer. No matter what your situation is or what you're going through, perception, the way you look at things, the way you rethink things, the way you give yourself a break so you can take a breath and come back and look at it fresh, that's the most empowering solution to every problem. It's not what you can't do. It's not what you're stuck with. It's what you do about it. And perception and attitude and you know, the way you look at things matters a lot. Just like if you're playing baseball and you think, I'm going to hit a home run, you're more likely to than the poor schmuck that thinks, oh, I'll probably strike out. You know, so attitude is everything. And that's what I suggest. The number of problems people go through, they're pretty well span the human you know, spectrum, from death to love to finances to taxes to, you know, children. I was raised with 6 brothers. I had, you know, a great mother, great parents. I was very lucky. But I have to admit, I and probably my brothers were rather clueless about women. We didn't understand what y'all were after or why or what until I didn't realize why are women attracted to us, you know? As later I realized, oh, y'all don't think like we do. You're looking for love and you're looking for mates and relationships and kids and
consistency.
Guys are a lot simpler. We want to have a lot of sex and conquer the world.
Yeah, it's like, hey, and on to the next thing.
Once I started understanding women, I understood how complex y'all are. And most of the relationships I do with women involve relationships. Most of the readings I do involving relationships at a much more deeper level than men. Men are a little more externalizing in general. So that's kind of a common theme I find with women is your emotional complexity. And being a guy, ours is much simpler than y'all's in general. So I can certainly say that, that's a common theme I found in women is, and I suggest to women, you know, don't feel put off by some guy who doesn't get your love.
Yeah.
judge your love on whether Joe gets it. You know, period. Judge it on how much you love, not how much Joe gets it. So all kinds of situations I go through with people. I discuss all kinds of situations, but the bottom line is your power lies in what you can do, what you can change. And your perception is number one. It's not in what you can't do. There's 10 million things we can't do. But if we find the five that work and bring our resonance and our creativity up, we're firing on all eight cylinders.
Well, the one thing I think, you know, in your stuff and knowing your story, I do appreciate the fact that it took you 20 years before you actually wrote this stuff down.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It happened in 77. The people around me knew it. Of course, I was it was a rather public spectacle, as you know. I was
yes, yeah.
arrested and went before judges and psychiatric hospital and all kinds of stuff. And I don't blame them. I wouldn't have believed me. If you know, the cops that came out to the scene of the accident asked me what happened, well, here's what really happened. Well, they didn't want to hear that.
No. Well, for one thing, they saw you were like a fraction of a second away from being roadkill. Okay. So they're seeing this happen and going, how the heck? They're seeing a miracle.
Oh, absolutely. The car was almost totaled. They had to tow it away. And me, I'm standing up talking. I didn't feel any pain. Didn't even get I got one little scratch. They took me to the hospital. They couldn't even keep me. I had one scratch on my head. And of course, they're always asking me what happened. Well, I'll tell you the truth. You
know? Yeah. The whole story or just the overview?
I had 30-second versions, 3-minute versions, all kinds, because I spoke to so many people over the next couple of weeks that I called the grounding agents, you know, cops, police, family, you know, lawyers, judge. It was all these people were doing the right thing. They thought, you know, this guy's really got mental problems. He thinks he went out to heaven and back. What they don't realize is I did.
Well, it was before it was popular, okay? It hadn't hit Oprah yet.
Oh, that's what we were talking about. Yeah, it took me 20 years to realize, you know, I discussed it with a couple friends that saw it, you know, or that knew about it, that knew me.
Right.
It was very public. But I didn't know the term near-death experience. I knew what I went through, but I didn't know it was common or anybody else had. I assumed I'm not the only person on the planet who had such a spiritual experience. But because I couldn't really explain it other than what I went through, I just kind of shut up about it for about 20 years until I started realizing, wow, there's other people have gone through this. They call them near-death experiences. Wow, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Cool. Whoa, hey, here's my group. Here's
right.
my group.
And, of course, I speak at a lot of these INDS conventions and INACS, NACS, different organizations about, the near-death experience itself. And one thing I want to, for your listeners, one thing to keep in mind, folks, is don't fear death. Death is liberation. This is our challenge here on this planet as who we are. Our challenge is not when we go. That's automatic. It's taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. Do a good life. Be fearless as much as you can. Because God's not going to take you at your most vulnerable point and scare that out of you.
No, that's a poltergeist.
Heaven or hell, buddy. Flip of a coin. You need 1 million points for heaven. You're 10 shy. Well, it looks like hell. If the universe has no two snowflakes alike, there's no two people who are alike, and there's no two experiences that are alike. But we all came from the same spot, infinite mind, and it's the only place to go back to. You know, hell is just not being there, basically.
Right, right. Well, not being stuck. Not being stuck. Because I think that from the experiences I've had with people who have crossed over is that sense of being, there's one guy that I met, no longer living, who was a suicide. And he was stuck. And that his frustration was that I wasn't, at that point, ready to help liberate him and move him forward, because I didn't know I could do that. And he was getting my attention by basically coming through me, and I'm waking up choking in the middle of the night. As he finally gets a hold of my vocal cords, and I start at one night, wake up going, ooh, and I thought, oh my gosh, and I'm half awake, half asleep. So I'm thinking I hear a ghost, and I'm thinking, whoa, that sounds like a ghost. And I realized it's me. I thought, well, this is how ghosts sound. Well, and I knew that that was my clue that he was trying, this entity was trying to get my attention, not hurt me, but trying to get some way, shape, or form a message across that he needed help. And so that some of that, you know, this was pretty much trial by getting stuck in the middle of it and have to figure out what the heck's going on and getting out of it. That was one of the little experiences I had that was a reality, a wake-up call that, you know, you don't have to have a body to have essence, to have form, to have awareness, to be in some way, shape, or form sentient. It's entity, it's energy, and we are all energy. It's just annoying when somebody else takes a hold of your energy and makes it, you know, takes it for a little trip.
Right. Well, you probably learned, am I correct, Wendy, that really when it boils down to it, nobody can really take your power unless you kind of let them.
No, yeah. That part of it was he wasn't trying to, in terms of, you know, hold me hostage.
No,
he had just found a way to say, help, wake up. And so as soon as at first I thought I would wake up choking. So I thought I was sleeping wrong and I'd forgotten how to breathe. I was trying to make sense of what was going on and living in this house where this guy had committed suicide. And he was realizing that I was picking up on him as things would happen in the house. And I realized the cat was afraid and all this. I realized, well, something's going on here. And then later on, we did the background and found out that the former resident had committed suicide. But in my experience, it wasn't his intention to harm me. It was his intention to say, help. And that's the only way he could do it. I was the person there. And but at the same time, through my awareness, it awakened me and allowed me to start doing more research and more exploring and more improving my abilities because of that.
See, you go through a challenge, you go through a period that's mysterious, that's changed, that's makes you question things, you ask questions, and then guess what? You get answers.
Yeah.
You ask questions because you want to grow, you want to learn. The desire to know and learn and grow and evolve will bring about the situations for that to happen.
Well, and the helpers are there too. The helpers, when
absolutely.
You say, I need help with this, then they step forward and help, you know, take you by the elbow and help guide you. They don't push you and they don't force you. They expect you to be an active, awakened participant. So you, when you need an assist, then you get it. They don't do your homework for you. But that was also part of it, was me paying attention to my guides and listening. What comes next? How can I be of assistance? What is this about? And so that also, you know, all that stuff goes together, but it's a lot to do overnight. This is years of expanding.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just doesn't happen just immediately.
The only thing that happens immediately is earthquakes. You know?
Okay, let's not go there.
Processes do take time.
We've got a few super volcanoes that are ready to go boom.
There you go. But yeah, your guides can help you much more than you even realize. Your own heart, your own curiosity, your own desire. But we have to choose to empower ourselves that way, to practice, to believe, to think differently, to be unafraid. When we choose to do those, one or all of them, we open the doors to growing perception, growing awareness, because our guides don't want to force us it upon us.
Well, it's really funny because you were saying, you know, you prayed really hard. And I was thinking, I've been asking my guides, help me see my way through this. What do I do? Is this it? Is there something I'm missing? And I kept saying, and finally, there's this point where I got the answer and said, okay, now we'll help. I'm like, I've been asking. No, you haven't. I was like, well, what do you mean? I wasn't serious. I was just, you know, like a little kid going, meh, meh. And when I was serious and I had turned the corner somehow and said, okay, I give up. You got this. Give me a clue. Something in my intention had shifted to, instead of saying I want it on my terms,
right.
I said, okay, just I'll go with whatever it is. Just give it to me straight. Let's do this. And things shifted. I'm like, well, that's a difference between asking and receiving.
Absolutely, girl. And remember... I remember a Catholic priest when I was a kid came in and said, does God always answer all your prayers? And of course, in the third grade, every one of us thought, well, hell no. And he said, no, God always does, just not necessarily the way you want. And I started thinking about that. Of course, you put an intention in to grow, evolve, learn, know, put out good, blah, 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 or, you know, help me, give me some insight. You'll get it. You just may not get it exactly when and how you want. You may have to learn to speak Spanish before you get it, because maybe the message is coming in Spanish or whatever.
Right. Yeah.
But it will come. Yeah. It will come. You just have to be patient and realize that the universe works on a different time scale than we do.
Yeah, that time thing that comes back into the... There's stuff that people are going through right now. And in a lot of ways, this is extremely chaotic and frightening, because we had a period, a kind of a lull for maybe 15 years or so, where things kind of looked like they you could rely on them. And then all this planet stuff now is kicking in, which causes shifts in terms of perceptions, in terms of, you know, people, population. All these things now are beginning. And I had this, 20 years ago, they said the upcoming climate shift, the earth changes. That's what the guys were saying at that time, that this was coming. And the most recent thing I heard with an interview with a, I don't know if it was a geologist, but one of the people who's been monitoring this, she said, I didn't think it would happen this fast. I didn't think we would accelerate as quickly as we are. And that, did you see that with your experience? Was there any of that kind of a, you know, you said you saw the oceans, the shorelines being smaller.
Accelerating. I didn't see the exact time schedule, but it wasn't like a particular date. It was like over a 100-year period or 75-year period, over a generation or two.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, things are accelerating. Even the recent reports on global warming, they were expecting the things to go a lot slower, and they're going much faster than they thought. Change in society is going much faster. And the reason we're going through this period now, it's the first time in human history that we've been able to communicate all across the world, everything. You can find out what's happening in China in 30 seconds on the internet. So information and experiences and knowledge, just like Nazi crap, can pass much faster, much more efficiently. Fortunately, a piano player I played with a long time ago, he had a great attitude. He said, I think the good stuff is like 51% and the crap's 49%.
We have an edge. We have an edge.
One edge. That'll work.
Well, what I like about it is the fact that with this global stuff, and you can, you know, you put a page in and say, hey, Google Translate, and put it in there. I can see the reports that they have conducted in Russia. I can see the reports that they have in terms of, I mean, I think Miatek Wirkus does the work with energy. And I took a class, I can't remember, but it's energy medicine. And you're getting aware of your own presence and your ability to influence others through their energy. And the languages before, if it was in some kind of, you know, Scandinavian, if it's in Hindu, if it's in Spanish, German, whatever, we had no direct access. And now a lot of these research studies and even the UFO reports and that kind of stuff, these anomalous happenings that we were so fragmented because we didn't have access to the other reports and files in different languages. Now we're seeing that this universe or this planet that we're on has a lot of common elements, and it's not just a one-off here in some little teeny tiny itty bitty segment of the United States or some, you know, little fragment of South America. It's all over the world. These kinds of things are part of our conscious knowing and expansion. And that is fascinating to me.
And that's within the last 20 years.
Yes.
Being able to have. And so this is, as I was saying, this is the first time human exposure to ideas and information is available easily. So this is really the first time that this shift in consciousness can effectively happen, because we can observe things across the world. And we can see, wow, the Nazis are lining up here and the good people are lining up here. Which team do you want to be on? We wouldn't even know there's two teams competing if we didn't have the information available, whether it's media or TV or reading or so forth. So the fact that there's change in the air is okay, because we're getting the information to know which side we want to be on. Do we want to be on the side of light or the side of darkness? I was even amazed a while ago when the commercial y'all had about bullying. I think that's great. You know, I wish they'd have had that when I was a kid, you know.
Well, and see, my perspective on that was you're programming a negative issue here, reinforcing as you're listening to that. When you hear that message, it's pounding, pounding, pounding. I am. And each person says this negative. And what I would do to reconstruct that is to say, if I were in a school, this is a message I would want to hear. I am empowered. I am potential. I am creative. Because every person who hears that message with that negative tone that's driving in is going, is that's the message that's being programmed. Inadvertently, subtly, the message is a negative, and the whole thing that they're trying to prove is positive. So I would redirect that, because I know bullies, I dealt with them myself. It was like, I was so grateful when I realized that that wasn't going to be my entire life. That was one little person and one little element. And once I figured that out, it was like, whoa. And I let that person take me a different direction until I figured out I didn't have to do that. I could shift my perception and where I was.
You don't have to stay in the rut. You don't have to stay stupid. You don't have to stay unenlightened. You can, but it's a choice. It's a choice to grow. It's a choice to love and be kind. It's a choice to be hateful. Let's just hope we all start making better choices. And that's what I believe the universe is showing us, is here's the result of stupid choices, and here's the result of good choices. Which ones do you want to make?
What do you want in your environment? What do you want to allow? How are you going to filter this? Because that's it. There is a filter that's a constant within you that says, I don't have to take that on. This isn't about me. This isn't directed at me. Each person, when we go out and we talk to other people, we have a message. And a lot of times that is misinterpreted, because we believe when the other person comes and says the message to us, they're repeating their program. It has nothing to do with us from most, you know, in most instances. It's something that they are in some way, shape, or form ingrained to putting out and to projecting. If you take that on and say, oh, you mean this at me, then you've taken on their program. And this is a different way of seeing and a different way of being in the world. But that's why, Gary, I like your stuff, because it doesn't have to be cement. You're so open. You're so fluid. You bring that equation to say, well, what do you really want? What do you really want? And you've seen it from a bigger picture with that second in eternity. Eternity is a wide open game. I like that view.
Well, I like I told you before, I feel like I'm one of the luckiest people on the planet, because A, I didn't know people would have such an experience, and B, I got it. And C, and this is something you asked a while ago, I wanted to ask you this, as you read in the book, several months after the experiment, the accident, the near-death experience, about 6 months later, I had wondered forever why I had this. Why did I get this? What the hell did I do to deserve it? I mean, no complaints, but the question was answered. The monitors answered that question, returned to me about 6 months later, and showed me why I had it. And it basically boiled down to, spoiler alert, but it basically boiled down to curiosity.
Yes.
I wanted to know. Since I was a kid, I always wanted to know. I've always asked questions. And lo and behold,
yes,
they said, well, if you want to know that bad, we'll show you. Come on. So be curious.
That's one of my mantras, too, is stay curious. Stay curious.
Absolutely, you know.
Nothing here is what it seems. It's just a matter of how far do you want to go with it? How far, how much do you really want to know? And it won't all fit. It just won't all fit. But boy, it's a cool, cool perspective.
Yeah, but I'd rather be full of 25% enlightened energy out of the infinite amount there is than not have any of it.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. You're a living, you're a walking, living, breathing testament to the fact that these things can happen in mysterious ways. You don't have to have your whole life upset, but it will shift the way you think, and it will shift friendships, and hopefully you'll avoid the psych ward.
True. And I know we're about to close. I wanted to mention one thing. I'm bipolar. I went through severe depression in my 20s. Probably more than anything because I'm a crappy singer and I wanted to play music rather than be an electrical engineer as a defense.
Yes.
So the one of the many things I learned is the temporariness of you know, depression, anxiety. It's curable. I'm the happiest person on the planet. I couldn't believe when I was 20 I would ever find myself saying that. But I really am, because I wake up every day and go, I get to choose if I want to be the happiest person on the planet or not. So I think I'll choose it. And who's to rebuff me? You
know? That's the message. That's the message. It is. It's choice. It's freedom. Absolutely. It's that sense of you have divine right to be whoever you want to be in this moment.
Yeah, and you will get what you're thinking about one way or another. So think light, think love, think happiness, and you'll get that. Think hate, anger, and frustration. Boy, you'll see it. It's all the
okay, so GaryWimmer.com, if you have questions, that's where you go for answers.
Thank you, girl. Always a pleasure to be with you, Wendy. You know that?
Thank you. Thank you. I love hearing your story, and I think it's fantastic. It's just a clue that miracles are all around us, and you've got the story, you've got the influence, and we didn't get into the stones, but that's there too. So if you're listening, GaryWimmer.com, you can check out the information he has with Lithomancy, because I think that's also another incredible resource that's just waiting to be discovered, explored, and in some way, shape, or form, expanded. How's that?
Great, girl.
Thank you. Thank you. If you're listening, this is Empower Radio. If you want to check out the website, WendyGarrett.com or Conscious Living or Wendy's Coffee House, or just Google, you'll find me. Find Gary, too, while you're at it. It's worth it. See ya, and stay curious. There's a lot going on. We're just getting to the tip of the iceberg here.